going to stand up here because of what he's a tall boy. And we just want to wish you here at Home Fellowship congratulations on graduating from high school. Okay, and we want to just give you this as our appreciation and our love for you. Okay?
Hard work. Thank you, buddy. Good job.
As we get going, I just have to say I've been debating whether to run a video because I've been really sick. And I've been taking the oils, and it just hit me. And I think it's because it is a spiritual attack. And so with that said, I want us to pray. Father, as we come tonight, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. And how much you love us and want to provide for us. And so, Lord, help me tonight to share. Help me to get my thoughts and my mind organized. As, Father, it's really confusing. And it's just very hard to talk and communicate. But, Father, I'm here because I just want to share your word. And Father, help me to communicate that clearly, completely, and concisely. And so, Lord, I need your help. Help me with my brothers and sisters as we continue on in understanding the importance of the fight that we are in. The battle is not against flesh and blood. So help us to appropriate the weapons that you give us. And so, Father, we thank you. And we ask that you make your presence known in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's just so interesting. Jason.
What?
You use your weapons pretty good.
Yep.
Did you learn that overnight? How many years did it take you to establish the skill?
This year is only my second year. I started last year, like 2 months after school started, and let's just say I was terrible. Everybody is when they first start something. But I practiced all year, and I practiced over the summer. And the beginning of this year is where I reached my peak.
But it took hours and hours of handling, knowing timing, knowing what, going from one maneuver to another. Back and forth. So, and that's similar to the Word of God. You know, we have to learn how to handle it. And so, we talked about, actually, I'm going to move on. I had some worship. You want to worship?
Yeah.
No?
Yes.
Yes? I have two songs I can't sing tonight. So, I had placed two songs by Chris Tomlin. So, let us do that first.
You can sing to this music, it's running on music.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I'll follow.
In you.
And please help in reading tonight because it is very hard for me. Chris, can you turn on the light, please?
Chapter 6.
And if someone can volunteer, verses 10 through 18, please. Volunteer? Again, Miss Neely, thank you.
Find Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, and with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints.
Okay. Let me pray again. I'm really struggling. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you. And we know that the wiles and strategies of our enemy is to destroy us all, to confuse us, to get our minds off onto ourselves rather than in you. And so, Lord, we look to you to be our source of strength. Help me in communicating the truth. Help my brothers and sisters to enter in. Father, you've given us much wisdom corporately. And so, Father, we look for you to be present in our lives this evening. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Wrestling. And so last week I kind of maybe exhausted too much. Here's the different things about the truth. And I'm just going to kind of glance on another area of the truth. And so one of the area is, do we understand how that we should, what? Test the truth. So someone turn for me and read from 1 Thessalonians 5:17 through 21. Is that what it is? Yeah. I know it says 21, but I want to go through 17 through 21.
Possible to back that up one.
What's that?
Can you back that slide up?
One? Sure. Right there?
To the all the truth.
Oh, okay. There's different areas, and I think we're going to touch on this so much more. God's word is so exhausting. And one of the whole idea of the belt of truth, it holds everything together. And so we need, like Jason, he handled that weapon. And as we get on, the next time around, we'll get into the sword. And we'll get into the shield, how every piece is important. No one is least important, because if we open ourselves up to our head, our mind, our chest, if we don't have that belt of truth, or our feet shod with the preparation of peace, we're going to stumble, fall, get an arrow shot at us, and we won't be able to defend ourselves. Because all of them are defensive except one. And who can remember which one it is?
Lord.
Thank you. That's the offensive weapon. And so, but we know, need to know how to apply that offensive weapon. So let's build up our ammo like he was flipping. Now, I'm sure if he had some bullets, he would let it go. But it is about the truth. So someone read that for me, if they got 1 Thessalonians.
What's the scripture?
17 through 20, actually go to 22.
What chapter? Five.
Oh, I'm sorry, I had to pull it back. There we go.
17 to 22?
Yes, please, 17.
Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil.
So here we see God saying we are to test. Test what? Test in what people are saying. If they're coming along as a Christian, are we have enough weapons or understanding of God's word? Are we testing? And so when you think of the word test, what is the test actually for? And what is it actually doing when you test something?
Trying to trying to figure out the truth.
Ah, to see if it's true or genuine. That's exactly right. Is what someone is saying genuinely true? And what's our source? God's word. And so, but I like it says, do not quench or grieve the spirit. Do not despise what? Prophecy. Oh. Did you know that it's 27.4% of the Bible is predictive prophecy? So that's a major chunk of God's truth. And so he wants us to really, in context, to test what? This issue of prophecy. Do we have enough ammunition in our belt about prophecy? Something to think about. Because people have, and they're despising it. There are people that, oh, they're mocking. And we see a lot of that happening. Oh, they've been saying that from the beginning, since our fathers. And we've been waiting and waiting. Do we understand? Have we gone into search the whole counsel of God to be able to test what people are saying on prophecy in these days? And so that's a challenge. One of the things, are we equipped with the idea of prophecy? How about other areas that we need to have as far as truth goes to test?
You got doctrine.
Okay, doctrine, specific doctrine. That's good.
Our identity.
Very good. Identity in who we are in church, in the world, who we are in
Christ.
And so, yeah, buddy.
We need to test and see what the will of God is.
Test the will of God. That's exactly right. So there's a lot of areas. How do we? How about Jesus? There are many religious systems today have now don't talk that Jesus is God. Can we, when we come across, not so much we have unbelievers, but we have people in the church that believe that they're saved, but yet their understanding of what salvation is all about is not based on the Word of God. When I was raised a Catholic, and I understood to be born again, is when I was born again as a Catholic, when I had that christening, it washed away my original sin. So they, an understanding of being born again, is that christening or that baptism. It washed away my original sin. Well, is that biblical?
No.
Okay, so do we understand what our salvation, how we can identify in Christ? So that's another God's word that we need, the belt of truth. Do you know what those straps there are for right here? They are to protect, for guys, our private. Now, one time I got hit. You know what? If you want to get someone down, you'll go down right away. And it's to protect those things right in front of us as male. And it hurts. And you remember Shechem, boys?
Shechem.
Remember Shechem? Guy, come on. We taught in a Bible study. What happened?
Didn't they do something to the sister?
That's right.
Shechem. Okay. Did something to the sister, and then like, oh yeah, we'll join you guys. You guys just all need to be uncircumcised, and then they just went in and killed them all.
And so, just in the circumcision, they were so debilitated, they went in there and killed them. And so it is a protection, and it had metal strips on it. So we'll get on to. We'll move on past that. Okay, but do we have other areas of doctrine? Sound doctrine. Okay, the next one is, are we just reading the Bible or are we studying? Someone turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay, if you would mind reading that, Mike, please.
Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who can correctly handle the word of truth.
So, are we able to, are we studying God's word? Are we studying, do we understand when we are studying a piece of literature that we don't try to look at it the same way, that there are different types of literature? We have historical books. We have prophetic books. We have, even in the narratives, like in the Gospels, we have, it's a narrative story, but then all of a sudden we got doctrinal books. When we come to that, do we recognize that this is no more a narrative, but he's teaching us? When we get to the parables, one of the most hardest to understand is parables, next to prophecy. Do we understand poetry? How do we interpret parallelisms, the symbols? Are we understanding? Because there's some people that will go to the Psalms, the Proverbs, and make that a whole doctrine. You know, but yet, they're just general. Are we able to accurately handle or study so that we can properly interpret? Okay. Are we searching and examining the truth? I'm going to read this. It's in the book of Acts. Remember how Paul and Silas were out, and they were in actually Thessalonica. And so the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogues. Now, these Jews, who were more noble than those of Thessalonica, and here's why, they searched the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if what they said was true. So here, the great apostle Paul and Luke saying, hey, test, examine daily the scriptures. And so, when Pastor Darren, or anybody, or even myself up here, are we testing that what I am saying is true? Or we just take it as because he's Pastor Darren, or John MacArthur, or Charles Stanley, or even when we read Spurgeon stuff, a lot of good stuff out. Are we examining and testing? I mean, if Paul the Apostle is being tested and called him noble, how much more are we? And so we are to, in this belt of truth, have the ability to test, to search, and to study. Any other thoughts on in this belt of truth? It's the first one, and I think one of the most important. And so, if we are to prepare in every circumstance, there's a couple of things that we have to know. Know the good news about Jesus. Not only know it, but can we communicate that to people? A lot of people, do we have a testimony? Can we share what Jesus has done in our lives? Can we use scripture to help us to explain our salvation and why it is not about how much works we do, but by God's grace? Can we quote scripture? I mean, I'm so thankful for addresses, but up until the 1500s, there was none. It was all together. And by the grace of God and men of God, be able to put addresses and chapters and verses so that we can navigate so much quicker today. And so, but we need to know how to communicate the truth. And it's great to bring them to church, but God sent, called you to be ambassadors, as 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us. He's asking us, pleading with them, be reconciled to God. That means know the gospel and how to communicate. Did you raise it?
Yeah, I guess also there's an important issue about when you're listening to somebody teach, okay, and they're bringing out passages or verses of scripture, that the context of that scripture is brought out. And very often, it depends on the context and who the audience was who they were talking to originally as to interpreting that passage correctly. If it's not brought out in the context, that it was originally desired to be conveyed in, then it can become really very confusing, and it can be something that we can discard if somebody gives you a passage of scripture or a verse that's not brought out in the proper context. You have to really know that, and that's an issue with teaching and learning.
Hopefully someday down the road, if the Lord allows, to teach what they call inductive Bible study. It's a form of hermeneutics, which is really the art of biblical interpretation. And so these are little tools that we can help for us to accurately handle the word of truth. But as 1 Peter 3:15 and 16 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you. But do this, and this is where I know Pastor Darren and I, and I've learned the hard way, do it gently and respectfully. Oh. You know, like, be patient. God may be working, plant seeds, but carefully, gently with someone. They may resist, then back off. If they say, okay, the Holy Spirit's not working right now, but plant seeds. But be ready. That means having your belt full of armor, ready to go. Okay, the next piece I want to get into is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, that is just one piece that I found, but actually there's several different types of armor, and it's on the next slide. Actually, we'll show it to you. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. Sorry, guys. I'll get to it next time. But what is the breastplate of righteousness? That's the second piece. What is it protecting?
Heart.
Vital organs. Now, we know that we have the shield of faith, and we're going to have that up. But, you know, when we're in the middle of combat, in the middle of a situation, you know, we're not able to move that shield around, and there could be some strays coming in, and that can hit you. And so this armor that is on is made of metal, and we have others called chains type that. So there's different types. Depending if you are wealthy, you could have more, like Pastor Darren had when I showed the next slide. But they are to protect our vital organs. And so let's look at some of the things that we need to do in this breastplate of righteousness. So it says pursuing righteousness. Are we pursuing? Someone turn to Matthew 5, 6, and verse 10. Then maybe someone else can go and seek righteousness. And then the third, scripture. And then the last one, a crown of righteousness. Is there any more? Yep, and weapons. So somebody take pursuing, seeking, scripture, a crown of righteousness, and weapons. And when you get it, go ahead.
Do you want me to read? I'll do the Matthew 5. Is it 6 through 10 or 6 and 10?
You go right through it.
Go all the way through?
Yeah.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
And so, blessings. Are we hungering for righteousness? So the question is, what is righteousness? Do we have any righteousness of our own? And if not, why?
There's nothing good in us except the Lord. So everything else is our fallen nature. We know what Scripture says our righteousness is, right? filthy rags to the Lord. There's no comparison of us to him.
Is anybody really seeking God? Someone turn to Psalm, I think, 14. Psalm 14. Interesting.
Doesn't it say that none seek after God?
No, not one. All are us. We are all sin. We all miss God's mark of perfection. And man thinks right what is righteous. But when man does something, what is the motive behind it? Is it for self-glory, or is it to bring glory to God? Are we pursuing things that are righteous? And then we have to say, then what is righteousness? What is the things that we need to be pursuing? And here's what it's not. In Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable work. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. So in man there is no good thing. And so how do we get righteousness?
It's imputed to us.
Imputed. Fancy word.
Yep. It's given to us as a gift. And it's not our own. It is from God.
Remember in the book of Genesis, I like to use first mentions. There's so much depth and wisdom there. We had a man. Our boys and I, and the high schoolers and middle schoolers, we are in chapter 48 of Genesis. And we navigate and we touch upon this chapter in Genesis. But remember there was a guy named Abram. And he was in the era of the Chaldees, and God called him out from there to come to a land that he did not know. That's pretty scary. To go and said, just go, and I'll direct you. Just go. And so he traveled, and of course he kind of made a little stay over in Haran for a little while, and which is part of his disobedience. He wasn't obedient all the way, but he did go, and when his father had passed away, he went down to the land that God would tell him to go and to show. And he unfortunately, again, took his brother's son, Lot, with him, which had all sorts of complications later on. And so he went there, and God basically told him, look up, go to the east, go to the west, north and south. All this land I give to you. It's yours. And God, and it says that Abram believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. So what was it that made him righteous?
Faith.
Belief. So faith.
Yeah.
Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when God called him out. He did this several times. And he was established. And that's one of the major doctrines that we talked about prophecy today. This issue about Israel and the land. And it all goes back and stems from the of that unconditional covenant. Because God knew Abram at that time couldn't keep it. So he put him to sleep, and he had cut that, and he went through, and God just went right through and lit it up, and it was an unconditional. Not based upon his obedience, but based upon belief. And that God sealed it, said, I say it, and it's going to happen. And so today, we look and understand prophecy, and all the confusion is because it always goes back to that Abraham covenant, unconditional. And so, like I said, we have to be able to learn how to navigate and understand prophecy, where it comes from. We can correlate. Pastor Darren does that all the time. We'll be studying in the New Testament. He'll correlate an illustration of what faith is or what righteousness is. And so when we're explaining to people about what righteousness is, we have to have that word of God. That when we are told things are going, arrows are going to become and say, oh, you disobeyed him, and you fell, and you did this for years. How can you be saved? Well, am I saved by my works? Or am I saved by my faith in Jesus Christ? Oh, I may have denied him sometimes in my obedience, but not on who Jesus is and what he's done for me. I've never wavered. And when he convicted me of my sin, oh, like David, I repented. Sometimes again, and again, and again. And that's why it's called God's grace. So, how about the next one? 6. 33. Go ahead.
But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
So, interesting. Seek first the kingdom. Are we seeking who? God's kingdom, God's rule and reign. He's not reigning now, but is he ruling and reigning in our heart? Are we in obedience as we walk in righteousness, doing what is right before the Lord? And so are we hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Go ahead, pass on.
Tom, that word first kind of always gets me, you know, because it's like, okay, well, I'm seeking the Lord, but that scripture verse is like so challenging to me because, you know, it says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. And that's where I think we all get tripped up a lot because we're not putting him first. And so we're not seeing all that God can do in our life, but we're really not putting him first. That's what we have, seeking first his kingdom. His righteousness in every area of our lives. That's, yeah.
And so a lot of times we want to put him second or third. We put our wife ahead of him. Yeah. We may put even our vocation. We can even put ministry.
Yeah.
And you know what? We'll fail all the time because our strength and our power is in the intimate relationship we have with him every day. And is able to, like even now, I am really tired. And I know when I get home tonight, I'm going to collapse. You can ask my wife. But I'm excited now. Because that's what God's word does. It gives us, it energizes us as we speak. And so when we're around people, we have that enthusiasm and love of seeking God first. And this is understanding, what's the context? What's the context of that? Because we could take a verse, pull it right out, and make it what we want it to believe. So what is the context of 6:33?
He was talking about worry. You know,
oh.
What will you wear? What will you, you know, don't worry about these things. Because you know, even the birds of the air, I clothe them more than Solomon.
That's right. And passed down gold and came. All that glory, all that gold, all the money is like dumb compared to the riches that we have in our relation of seeking God first. And if God's not first and something else is, what is that called?
Idolatry?
Well,
yeah,
oh.
Right.
That's the echo. We've got stereo here. Idolatry. And that challenges us every day. For me, ministry was the biggest idolatry thing I had in my life. Even over, unfortunately, the immorality and places I used to go on the website. This whole thrust for power overseeded my relationship with God. My devotion life was nil. Because I didn't have intimacy. And how can I walk in the Spirit when I'm doing all fleshly type things? I'm not seeking God. And what? His kingdom. What's God's kingdom? What does God want us to do in this world that he's given us? To basically going to be an inheritance someday.
known? Is that shine for him?
Right. That's right. Make his known. Go ahead.
Glorify him.
That's right. And everything we do, both in word and deed, will bring glory to God. People may make accusation at you, but when they see your good works, what are they doing? They bring all sorts of false things. But they see your life, how can they? They're bringing glory to God. And so that's that. How do we do that? When we're involved in ministry for the Lord without us getting out of the way. I'm still trying to navigate through that too. And so a lot of times, for me, God has to humble us. But don't worry about our job. Don't worry about our education, because education could be an idol. Pursuing education, pursuing intellect rather than intimacy with Christ, that's his first. And what you'll need, he'll give you.
I think sometimes we feel, our flesh side feels a lot of comfort in, you know, hey, I got enough clothing, I got enough food, you know, I want to make sure I have these things, particularly for a man trying to provide for his family. And I think when Scripture says, seek first his kingdom and righteousness and all these things will be given to you, the thing about it is, to me, that's a direct response to the worry, right? I mean, it's the opposite. Faith is the opposite of worry, the opposite of fear. And so when you put him first, the things that you're worrying about become pretty small. That is your and I'm learning, you know, going through a process now where even when times are really tough and you're really, you know, you're not seeking the new Mercedes-Benz, you're hoping for a food-free family. You know, even that difference, when I'm not putting him first, when I'm not seeking his righteousness, I don't have his peace. When I do, it is, I'm walking through eternal life right here on this earth. When I surrender myself and I put him first, and that's the difference.
But I think that's when people also can really see Jesus. You know what I mean? Because that's when they'll see him the most. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
As in contact. Remember who was here when I did the illustration on worry with the rope? Yeah. See, worry, if you weren't here, worry in the Greek means to pull in two different directions. Worry and anxiety are synonymous. Jesus used both of them. But the old English word means to strangle. And I used the rope and I put it on my neck, and as they're pulling, I had two guys on there, and actually I had the wrong knot and I bled. What an illustration. And that's what worry does. It pulls it, but it strangles us and kills us, because our mind is off of, God is our provider. He promised, he sees Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Do we believe he's going to provide our food, our job, our future? I was a very bad steward because of, I won't go into it, but when I retired in 2012, one of the major things, we're going to be able to do it because they forced me out. And so we looked at the numbers and go, okay, I think we can do this. And God has been faithful from 2012 until 2000 years to take care of all our needs. And one of the biggest fears, and I'm sure most of you women, is about financial security. And so it's a big challenge for all of us financially, given that we know someday this prosperity that we're having now can all of a sudden tank. And most economists believe that if you spend $10 million a day and only make two, something's got to give. Eventually, it's all going to collapse. And so, do we trust God in that? 1 Timothy 6:11 says, "But you, O man, flee all this, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." 1 Peter 2:24 said, he bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds are healed. Not only pursuing righteousness, but there is, God does something as we're pursuing him, even in our physical body. Spiritually first, but also physically. How about Scripture? 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, 3:16.
What?
Timothy.
Yeah. 2
Timothy 3:16.
Scripture.
Oh, right. Scripture. So what is the Scripture helpful to us? Now remember, the Scripture that Paul was writing to Timothy was what? The Old Testament.
It says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
So God's Word is training us to do right things, to know the difference between right and wrong. So when we are being challenged about doing something, do we have enough of God's Word as our authority to say, yeah, I can do this, or no, I shouldn't do this? Are we testing the Scriptures? Do we realize that that's what God's Word, it trains us. It helps discipline us and corrects us. What else? In a crown of righteousness, Paul had in 2 Timothy 4:8. Now there is stored up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And now, and not only to me, but also to all those who long for his appearing. A crown of righteousness. What do you believe that crown of righteousness? Now, this is Paul's kind of last will and testimony to his protege. He knew his life was coming to an end. And he realized that he was going to meet his Lord and Savior. And that he is going to be given a crown. What's so interesting about that crown? You know, we're all going to hopefully get some crowns for the things that we've done in the Spirit. One day, we're going to, at that Bema seat, whether through death or through the rapture or whatever, we're all going to be there, and he's going to look at everything that we did in Christ, to whether it was done by the Spirit or by the flesh. And whatever's gold, precious metal, and gems, we're going to be given rewards for our faithfulness to him. But what's so neat, I love it, when you look in Revelation, what are we going to do with those crowns? Why? Because we realize it's all him and nothing. It's his righteousness. Let's turn to, and I can move on. I love this verse. It's in Isaiah 59:17. Anyone got it? Go for it.
Put on righteousness as his breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak.
Put on. He put on.
He put on.
Who's the he?
Jesus.
Oh, the Lord. See, it's his righteousness. And he gives it to us. And he helps us fight whatever battle that we have to go through.
In 2 Corinthians 6:7, say, I don't remember that.
Sure.
Comment. You want me to ask
you? No, I got it. In truthful speaking and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left hand. Truthful speaking. Always speaking the truth. But let's preface it in what? Sincere love. Do we care about not only brothers and sisters who have gone astray, but also to those who are lost, that don't know Jesus? That people say, oh, I do all these good works. Do we have the scripture to be able to share with them? What is what does God require for us to be righteous? What does he require for us to get to heaven? And we're able to navigate through the scripture. Oh, it's great to bring him to church and give a salvation message, but God's called you, all of us, to be equipped, to be ready in season and out, so we can share with people. We continue to plant seed, and maybe we'll be blessed. Some will water, some what? But God brings the increase. And so it's not Paul, it's not Apollos, it's not man, it is totally God's Spirit. And so, I'm going to read another one. In Psalm 119, 172, may my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. You want to know about God's word? If you just memorize Psalm 119, you've got a whole arsenal right there. Just all about God's word, his statutes, his direction. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Proverbs 4:20 says, above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The issues of life. Everything. Guard that heart. That's what the breastplate is, guarding from the enemy trying to get one of those arrows in there. And it's an illustration. I was thinking of it this morning. Remember how I think it was Jehoshaphat. Help me out, Pastor Darren. It just popped. And he aligned himself with Ahab, didn't he? Okay, and he actually told him to put on the armor of the king. And all of a sudden, when the enemy was coming, tried to and realized, oh, that's not Ahab. But I think there was an arrow that was just shot up and found a place in between that on. Maybe it was like that. Maybe you need armor like this one. Right there. That's what Pastor Darren has. There's others like that. But that's the one we want. The more wealth you have, the better pieces of armor. And we have the best piece right here. And so we'll get into next time about the breastplate. I mean, the shield of faith and the helmet and the feet next time. And how they all work together. How we all need each other. For those arrows will come out. And they will. I think I have a slide. I didn't. Sorry. Let's go back. Okay. But I want to leave you with this thought. I don't know. I went to college stupid, came out ignorant. I don't have much of an intelligence. And I don't. You ask Pastor Dan. But I want to encourage you. Because we're like fishermen. Okay? Sometimes we stink. But Jesus called those fishing. He called them zealot. He even called a rebellious one, who a traitor. And when they were arrested, actually in the scripture says, Jesus, don't worry what you're going to say when you come before the kings and the priests, before you come through the magistrates. But who will tell you what you need to know at the time? The Holy Spirit will give us memories of what to say. So we just take it in and trust the Holy Spirit. Because one of the things that those Pharisees, the scholars of the day, They were uneducated men, but then they realized, ooh, who were they around? They were hanging out with Jesus. And so that's what we got to do. Hang out with him every day in the Word, in prayer. Hang around with others that will help us to grow and learn and walk. But maybe you say, well, my mind is confused and I'm not that educated. I don't read well. I don't either. But I want to encourage you in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 24. You see, the context of that 1 John is there was Gnostics, which had a lot of erroneous and heretical teaching. And one of the things that they taught was there's a special knowledge out there for special people. It's not for the common people. You can't learn. You need our help to learn. So with that understanding, he goes on to, in my heading it says, let truth abide in you. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning, and what you have heard from the beginning abides in you. You also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. And there's many deceivers, a lot of antichrists out there. But the anointing which you have received from him abides, dwells, lives in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as that same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it is true, and it is not a lie, and just as it has been taught to you, you will abide in him. Basically, the Holy Spirit lives in us. He dwells, and he will help. He is our helper to teach us how to be righteous, how to have the Word of God, so that when people come, we can stand firm in what we believe. And so, a lot of, we need both of them. We need that belt. And see, that belt is holding that in tight. Because it's going to be doing, it's getting ready to run. And we're going to get ready to run next time. Any other thoughts? Insights? Pastor?
I was just thinking as you were talking, one of, I was thinking this morning too, as you're talking about the, I forgot about that 2 Timothy 3:16 verse where it says, you know, that the Word of God is training us in righteousness. I mean, I remember the rest of it, but I just kind of had forgotten it. I don't, maybe I read it so many times. And I was just thinking to myself, I wonder if that's why the enemy tries so hard to keep us not doing our devotionals in the morning. What's the most difficult thing for probably all of us to do each day, which is probably the best thing that's going to train us in righteousness, right? It's just sit down with the Lord, sit down with the Holy Spirit, open his word, pray, God, will you speak to me, and start reading his word so that it'll start training us. Isn't that the most difficult thing to do? For some reason, isn't that seem to be the hardest to fit in your schedule? You know, I was thinking about Uncle Tom, one of the, I'm getting older now, and sometimes even, you know, my kids are correcting me in a good way, most of them. But, you know, as a dad, I can honestly say, you know, one of the coolest things for me as a dad, you know, sometimes I'll go upstairs and I'm like, hey, man, why aren't you in bed? You know, hey, what are you doing? I'm just reading my Bible, Dad. Or, you know, both the older kids, hey, what are you doing? I'm just reading my Bible, Dad. I tell you, nothing gives me more. I didn't tell them to do it. It's not on their chore list. They're just doing it because they want to be trained in righteousness, because they want to know the Lord. They want that in them. And I just think, man, if they continue in that, and if you continue in that, what a strong woman of the Word you're going to be. What a strong man of God you're going to be. What a great, you know what I mean, mom or dad or whatever you're going to be. And so I guess I just want to, that reminder, I want to encourage everybody, there's nothing you can do better for your kids, for your family, for yourself, is just to spend that time, just be with the Lord each day, training in righteousness, reading it for yourself, praying God, speak to me chapter a day. Anyway, sorry, that's all.
But final word again, too. I got two passages I want to leave you with. I get excited. See, I got energized. So what is going to hinder us from being good soldiers? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. You therefore, my son, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men or women. Paul is saying to his protege, commit these, the word of God, to faithful men and women. You therefore must, this is a promise a lot of people don't want to claim, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engages in warfare entangles themselves with the affairs of life, with this world, that he may please him who enlisted him into the service. So, you have to search. Is there something that is entangling me, that's hindering me from being a good soldier? Proverbs 11, 4 through 6, and I'll go light down mass, Pastor Darren, close. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of a blameless makes the path straight. But the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. The righteousness of an upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by their evil desires. Okay. So, is there anything that's entangling us? Are we searching after things that will impede our walking with him? Or even getting into your birth every day? That's why I love... We get into the word. They actually get into it twice. They have devotional in the morning, and then we have a solid half hour. And something. Any other thoughts? Sorry, I got energized. That's what the word does. Miss Gloria asked me to think about getting a video, and you know what? Nothing worked out. I couldn't download the one I wanted.
Just
yes.
One more. Short. You know, when you're talking about the. You know, righteousness, I mean, the belt of truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so easy that, you know, Pastor Darren was talking about, you know, in the morning, so, you know, we read the Bible and we're filled and, that, you know, it's easy to forget. Well, you know, we have the enemy working against us all the time. And all he speaks are our lies.
Yeah.
And all that's in the Word of God is truth. And an intimate prayer with the Lord is also... going to be rooted in truth, right? I mean, I've been praying for most of this year that the Lord reveal truth to me. Because as soon as I walk outside of my bubble of prayer or my church or my family, you know, I'm invaded by the world and, you know, and surroundings that are not, you know, rooted in truth necessarily. And so it's easy to let those influences creep into your life and creep into your day. And I just think truth is just everything. You know, it's like, it's, you know, having the Word of God and having communion with Him is, will keep that truth, will keep that, you know, keep you in the truth, right? And from that flows a lot of good, other good stuff.
It's hungry, you know, like I'm missing my Klondike bars. Because I tried to get, and I hungered and thirst for them. But, but you know, the same lot, what is the first thing that the enemy whispered into our first parents?
The Word of God, he was hungry for the Bible, but it comes at Klondike bars.
The flesh hungers for other things. But see, the enemy, the old serpent of old, whispered and say, hey, has God really said? And as Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? That thing is being reality of what is truth. And so, do we have the truth? Are we ready to dispense that truth? Are we ready to fight off the lies? So, any others? Father, we do thank you for your amazing grace. Father, I just love that word grace because it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Help us to live soberly, righteously in this dark, evil world. So, Lord, pour out your grace on all of us. Help us to purpose in our heart to set you as Lord every day, that you are first, and seek an intimacy with you. And there's a variety of ways we can do that, but Lord, maybe we just have to get up a little bit earlier. Maybe we just have a little bit less TV time, and as a family, we can take out a scripture and just let's go around the room and let your spirit indwell your people and teach us. Help us to train us more and more by your word. So blessed Lord, it's an evil, dark world. And so Father, we look, help us to continue to abide in you. Because if we abide in you and your word abides in us, then we shall know the truth and that truth will set us free. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus.